6 this evening, Genesis chapter number 6. We're thankful again for the opportunity to be gathered together this evening, and it's good to be home, amen. We had a good time on vacation, but we love you folks, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord together, and so thankful to be home. Thank you again for your prayers as we traveled, and looking forward to a wonderful service this evening. And then on Tuesday night, Prayer, Praise, and Pie is one of my favorite services of all the year. It's just a wonderful blessing, and the opportunity to hear, you know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and to give an opportunity for God's people to testify of God's goodness, God's work in your life. It certainly is an encouragement to me, and certainly a special service, and looking forward to that on Tuesday evening. Genesis chapter number 6, we'll be looking at verses 14 through 22 this evening, and notice in verse number 14, the Bible says this, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shalt thou shalt come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. This evening, the title for the message is found in verse number 14, make thee an ark. He tells them to make thee an ark of gopher wood. I've just used that first phrase, make thee an ark, the instruction that God gives to Noah. You'll recall from our last study, from last two Sunday evenings ago, that we preached a message that I entitled, Noah Walked with God. And what a great testimony Noah had. He's the second one that is described as being a man that walked with God. The Bible tells us of Enoch specifically that he also walked with God. He had this testimony before his translation that he pleased the Lord. And what a blessing that is to have that testimony. We know that the Bible tells us that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's interesting as we would consider the testimony of Noah and understanding the judgment that is set forth that God has announced upon his creation because of the sinful, wicked behavior of mankind. He says that the earth is corrupt, that it's filled with violence, and we find that he is going to destroy the earth. It's interesting to me that as we find in Genesis 6 and verse number 13, notice the last phrase of Genesis 6:13, the Bible says this, I will destroy them with the earth. That is a statement of God's righteous judgment that is being revealed to Noah. Of course, Noah has been found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah is given the instruction. He is told by God what God's plan is for destroying mankind, his creation. We find that he reveals his righteous judgment this evening. It is important for us to understand that our God is the righteous judge. It is important for us to understand even as the New Testament would reveal to us that our God is a consuming fire, that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, and He is holy and righteous. He, yes, loves mankind, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but God never sacrifices His holiness or His righteousness on the altar of love. And we understand this evening that our God is a righteous God, and we find in that last phrase of Genesis 6 and verse number 13, His righteous judgment is revealed, I will destroy them with the earth. But notice the first phrase of verse number 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. What we find in verse number 13 is the righteous judgment of God being revealed. But what we find in the beginning statement of verse number 14 is God's grace and God's mercy being revealed. I am thankful this evening that our God is righteous and that He is the righteous judge. But I'm thankful this evening that our God is gracious and He's merciful. I'm thankful this evening that the Bible tells us that His mercy endureth forever. And I'm thankful that when God says to Noah, "I will destroy them with the earth," that the very next statement that God makes is, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." It reveals to us the mercy and the grace of God. Indeed, mankind, because of our sin, we studied in Genesis chapter number 3, when sin entered into the world and death by sin, man is separated from God because of our sinfulness, because of our wickedness. But God, in His grace and His mercy and His love, He offers forgiveness. He offers the atonement that was made by Jesus Christ, His precious blood. We sang that song this evening, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." And the songwriter says within that song, he speaks about the blood that is able to atone. And I'm so thankful for the grace and the mercy of our God. And this evening, in just two statements from Genesis chapter number 6, we find God's righteous judgment being revealed, followed by God's grace and mercy being revealed. As we study the text of Scripture this evening, if you're taking notes, I want you to notice, first of all, the fashion of the ark. In verses 14 through 16, God gives instruction to Noah with regard to the design of this ark, the fashion of the ark. What a task this was that God would give to Noah, but we could consider with even the daunting task that was before him, that it was God that equipped Noah and God provided Noah with the instruction that he needed in order to build this ark. We find throughout the Word of God, I mentioned even a little bit this morning about God's enablement. I'm mindful of the instruction that God would give to Moses in the book of Exodus with regard to the tabernacle. What a great task that was for them to construct the tabernacle and all of the pieces of furniture and all that would take place in the tabernacle. And God revealed to Moses what it was, the pattern for all of those items. But not only did God reveal and give the pattern, but God equipped. The Bible tells us about Bezalel and how that he was a man that God had called by name and equipped for that very task. Not only Bezalel, but others that would have the ability to learn and then to do. And we find that all that was commanded was completed. Such is the case here with Noah in Genesis chapter number 6. We find that God would give Noah everything he would need. We find that the materials are listed for us in verse number 14. He tells him, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." He tells him the wood to use. He then tells him, "Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And we find that he's been given the instruction with regard to the materials. He also is provided here with the floor plan, if you will. In verse number 14, he says, "Rooms shalt thou make in the ark." We find that in verse number 15, he tells them here, "This is the fashion which thou shalt make it of." Notice, he says, "The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits." That's not a measurement that we use typically today in our terminologies, in our vernacular, but a cubit is estimated in biblical times of being about 18 inches in length. And so if you were to take those dimensions, the cubits that are mentioned, and equate them to feet today, something that we could understand and be familiar with, the length of the ark would be 450 feet. Now, just so you understand, that is 1.5 times the length of a football field. That's pretty long. That is a big project. And Noah is given this responsibility to build this ark. God says, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood." And then he begins to give him the floor plan. He tells him that the length is to be 300 cubits, 450 feet. He tells him that the breadth or the width of this ark was to be 50 cubits. That would equate to 75 feet. And then the height of this ark would be 30 cubits or 45 feet. He tells them in verse number 16 that there's a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. I want you to, just for a moment, we'll finish verse number 16 here as we move forward this evening, but I want you to, just for a moment, wrap your mind around the size of this ark. Now, have any of you gone out to Kentucky to see the ark encounter? I know our family's been there, you guys, some of the Trejos have been there, and the Backeries have been there. Anyone else? Brother Sammy, when you pulled up to the parking lot and you saw the ark sitting out there in the field, what did you think? It's amazing, right? You literally are in the middle of Kentucky. Now, I've never been to any other parts of Kentucky, really, except to travel to the Ark. And we're traveling there. You come around this bend. You come up to the field. And you're kind of looking, and you crest the hill, and then, bam, the Ark is sitting there. It's huge. And what they did in making that ark, it's the Ken Ham is the director of Answers in Genesis, and he's got a great program out there and what have you. And they sought to recreate, if you will, a real size replica of the ark. You then get to go in if you pay the fee, and you get to go in and you get to see from their perspective a way in which the ark could be laid out. God doesn't give us all of the details, and they make it known when you go there that this is their understanding, this is a way in which it could have been fashioned, if you will. But when we think about the size of the ark, and for us to really kind of grasp it, the volume of this ark is 1,518,750 cubic feet. That's amazing. Now, to help us understand what that would equate to, it's roughly 375 tractor trailers could fit in there, the trailer parts, or 300 train cars. Now, think about that. They're trying to put this in terms that we can understand, things that, how many of you have seen a tractor trailer? Amen. You may not have seen the ark, but you've seen a tractor trailer. You drive around here too much or a little bit, you find that there are those 53-foot tractor trailers. This is the 53-foot one is the one that I did the calculations on. In those 53-foot tractor trailers, the trailer part, the width and the height of those trailers, you could put what would fit in 375 of those, you could fit that in the ark. That's amazing. If we want to talk about the square feet, it is 33,750 square feet per floor. Now, there are three floors, so we're a little over 101,000 square feet. We understand that floor one and floor two had to have accessibility to the floors above them. Floor three, of course, would have an entrance where they would get from the second floor to the third floor. But you can remove some of that square footage for some of those, the walking for the stairs or whatever ramps and what have you they would utilize. But you understand the size of this ark. It's humongous. And God says, here's what I want you to do. God's purpose is revealed to us. We find as we move through the text of Scripture how God would reveal to us what His purpose was, but God's plan is perfect. And I'm so thankful that we have the account that is given to us here in Genesis chapter number 6, that yes, God saw the wickedness of mankind. He saw that all of the thoughts of their imaginations was only evil continually, that the society was corrupt as a whole. And we understand that God in His righteous, holy judgment was going to judge His creation. But God in His grace and His mercy, He says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he gave Noah the dimensions, and this ark is huge. I want you to notice at the end of verse number 16, he says this. Well, let's just read all of 16 again. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in it a cubit shalt thou finish it above. Notice this, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. That's where we see the stories, the three floors, lower, second, and third stories, the end of verse number 16. But right there in the middle, he says, and the door of the ark. There's only one door. There's not many doors. There's not many places in which somebody could enter. There was one door to the ark. And what a great picture that we can find here in the ark and in the dimensions and in the fashion of the ark and the instruction that God gave to Noah with regard to the design of this ark, that it would have but one door. And it reminds me of the New Testament truth that there's but one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I often, as I would read that verse of Scripture and speak to somebody about their soul, I would use the illustration of asking them this question. What does it mean when you say the way? Is there anything significant about Jesus saying, I am the way, versus Jesus saying, I am a way? And always the people that what I would ask that question, they say, well, yeah, there's significance in the choice of words. Now, they may not agree with what I would say next, but they do at least acknowledge that that article that is used when Jesus said, I am the way, that there is significant meaning in that statement. If we were going to travel to one of your homes this evening, there are several ways in which we could go. I'll use the Currys, for example. I never, when I travel to the Currys' house, I never go on Route 66. I just don't do it. Now, I could. Can I get to your house from 66? Absolutely. But I don't. I go down Germantown, down to Chain Bridge, down to Nutley, and that's how I get to. But I would never say it's the way to their house. It's simply a way. It's just a way that I take. Because there are several ways that you could go to get to the Curry's house. But Jesus said, I am the way. And we find that here with the ark in Genesis chapter number 6, that when he's giving the instruction, the fashion of the ark, he says to Noah that you're to make a door, singular, the door. I'm thankful that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And here's what makes me very excited this evening, is that God has revealed that truth to us. He didn't hide it from us. He didn't keep back from us the reality concerning heaven. So many times we get, I guess attacked would be a certain way that we could describe it. Maybe we get criticized would be a better word for having this mentality that Jesus is the only way. And that you need to be more, you need to be broad in your thinking. And you need to, listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, there's some preacher up in, he calls himself a preacher, up in New York, up in Long, I think he's in Brooklyn in that area, and he actually pastors a church up there that they call themselves a Baptist church. And he made this statement probably 18 months ago now, that basically you just be sincere in what you believe and all roads lead to heaven. And he kind of made this statement as he was preaching. And as he's preaching, he says that Jesus himself never made the claim that he was the only way. When he made that statement, people within the congregation, by the way, they boast of being the largest church in New York City. People begin to clap and hoop and holler when he makes that statement. I've listened to the audio personally. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus did reveal to us in his word that salvation, that there's but one way to get to heaven. We sing with the kids, one way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. And what a blessing to know the truth. And anyone that would enter into the ark must go through the door. By the way, we'll study in future weeks how that it was God that shut the door. Amen? And we find that as we understand the fashion of the ark, that God provides Noah with the instructions with regard to the materials that would be used, to the floor plan, to the dimensions that he was to use, to the stories that were to be there, the window, and then singularly, the door of the ark. Notice the flood of waters. We notice in verse 17 down through verse number 21 that we move from noticing, first of all, the fashion of the ark to number two, the flood of waters. Now, God has told Noah that he was going to destroy mankind. He told him, if you'll remember, in verse number 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. But now God's giving additional information with regard to how he would do this. It says in verse number 17, and behold, I, even I. Who is this? This is God. This is God Almighty. This is the one that we studied in Genesis chapter number 1, that the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, the heaven and the earth. It is the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. And God says, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. This is the flood of waters. We find the destruction that is noted here in verse number 17. And as we read that destruction, we find that God again is going to give to Noah the details with regard to this judgment that was coming. But I want you to notice once again the grace and mercy of God. We find the destruction that would come by the flood of waters, but we find the deliverance. In verse number 18, God says, but with thee will I establish my covenant, that promise that he would give to Noah. He says, and thou shalt, notice this, come into the ark. I'm thankful we speak about the term saint in the New Testament. And as we would consider, even as we've studied the book of Ephesians throughout 2019, and we find that Paul is writing to the saints that are in Ephesus, that I've made the statement repeatedly on Sunday mornings throughout this, really the beginning of the year, not so much lately, but a saint is one who is in Christ, in whom Christ dwells. What a blessing to be in Christ. And we are secure in him. The Bible says in John 1 and verse number 12, that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We have to receive him as our Savior. And we find here that he says to Noah that thou shalt come into the ark. Thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. We know that Noah had three sons. We read of that earlier in our text of Scripture in verse number 10 of Genesis 6. And we find that with Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives, there would be eight people. We find that the New Testament gives us recognition to the validity of the text that is before us this evening. I've often mentioned as we've studied the book of Genesis that it's the book of Genesis that is so foundational. And we find that it's the book of Genesis that is being attacked. The truth that is within the first really 11 chapters of the book of Genesis is being constantly attacked in the society in which we live today. And as they would seek to destroy and undermine the authority of God's Word and the message of God's Word, they're seeking to destroy the foundation. Because if you destroy the foundation, the house will crumble. We find that there's a great attack. We can read of humanism, and we can read of Darwinianism, and we can read of all of the secular ideas, and we see how that a generation is being bombarded with these thoughts and these ideas and these lies that are being permeated and filling the minds of our young people. And we find that here, as I've mentioned with the account of creation, that creation is not just Genesis 1 and 2. The whole Bible is filled with the record of God being the Creator and how God created all things, and by Him all things consist. Can I tell you that the message of the flood is not just contained in Genesis 6 through 8? There are references regarding the flood throughout the Scriptures. It's interesting to me that in 2 Peter, in chapter number 3, that when Peter would speak about the second coming of Christ, there were those that say, hey, where is his appearing? I mean, he promised he's going to come, but he's not come. Everything continues as it was. And Peter says, of this you are willingly ignorant. And you know what he references? He references the flood, Genesis 6 through 8. That's what he references. And he says, you're willingly ignorant of this. The account is there. Listen, Jesus speaks of Noah. Jesus speaks of the flood. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will. And I want you to notice, I've mentioned 2 Peter, but notice here in 1 Peter chapter number 3, because we're speaking here about the destruction that would come by the flood of waters, but also the deliverance. Isn't it amazing that the same thing that would destroy mankind would save mankind? As long as they're in the ark. Right? They're going to be destroyed. All flesh would be destroyed. Everything that breathes, they're going to be destroyed because of the flood of waters. But Noah, get in the ark. You and your sons, your wife, and their wives, and in the ark, you're going to be delivered. There's no other way to be delivered, by the way, because this flood is catastrophic. This flood that God was going to bring is a catastrophic flood that is a global flood. And we find that in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 20, the Bible says this, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, what does it say, were saved by water. Why? How are they saved by water? Well, that flood would come, and because they were in the ark, and it was made of gopher wood, and it was pitched with that pitch, that ark would then sustain them, and they would be able to survive for the duration of that time in which God would send the flood. We know that it rained for 40 days, but they were in the ark for much longer than 40 days, as we'd study in the next couple of chapters, in chapter 7 and chapter number 8, and see more of those details. But we find this evening that the flood of waters would bring destruction, but it also bring deliverance. Notice with me, back in Genesis chapter number 6, that God gives additional instruction. Not only does He tell him, Noah, to get into the ark, him and his sons, his wife and their sons, but notice in verses 19 through 21, He speaks to them about the animals and about the supplies that they would need. He tells them in verse number 19, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. Notice this, to keep them alive with thee. Notice at the end of verse number 19, they shall be male and female. Why? So that they could reproduce after they got off the ark. Amen? Simple enough, we got it. And we find that God, He's given the details. He's providing Noah with the instruction. Verse 20, of fowls after, what does it say? Their kind. Notice, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Notice again in verse number 20, and we'll read the end of it in just a moment, but as we notice the three references to kind here in the text of Scripture, we're reminded back to Genesis chapter number 1, when God created and they were able to reproduce after their kind. Right? So every species that was around did not have to be. We look today and we look at all these different species and say, man, they had to have one of that kind of dog and one of that kind of dog and one of that kind of dog. Man, there's 150 different. No, just one kind. Right? Just one kind. Because they could reproduce after their kind. It's even today the case that breeders understand. Now, I'm not a breeder. I don't even own a dog, and I've had a few people try to offer me one. My daughter, where is she? Juliana. She's in the nursery tonight. I told her, we're sitting at dinner on vacation. I said, honey, you should go to law school. She said, why? I said, because you'd be a good lawyer. She was trying to state her case for why we should have a dog. I said, you're outside of your mind. Amen. We are not getting a dog. I said, listen, when you get married, your husband can let you have a dog if you want to have a dog. But as for me in my house, we're not having a dog. Amen. And so I'm not a breeder. I don't have any animals. But I understand as I read a little bit and understand some biology and what have you and all of those things that the breeders do these things today, how they crossbreed and different things that they do, but it's always after their kind. And so God gives Noah the instruction, and we'll find as we read again in chapter number 7 as we move forward through our study of the book of Genesis how God brought these things to pass, but He tells him specifically in verse number 20 that it was to be fowls after their kind, cattle after their kind, every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Notice this, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Now, Noah, you and your family and all these animals are going to be in the ark. And so here's what you need to do. Verse 21, take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten. God had given instruction to Adam at the end of creation with regard to their food source and how God had provided these things for him and for Eve and, of course, for mankind as it would go forward. And so we find here that He tells them, thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Who's them? It's the animals. They just instructed them to get in on the ark. Amen? And so we find that God is very detailed. God is very specific with regard to what is contained here in the account for us. And so we find the fashion of the ark, the flood of waters. But then notice finally with me this evening as we just kind of spend some time meditating upon the truth of verse number 22. Notice with me number 3, the faith and obedience of Noah. Notice the first 3 words of verse number 22. Thus did Noah. You know what that reveals to me? That reveals Noah's faith. You know what that reveals to me? That reveals that Noah believed God. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to destroy. Make the ark of gopher wood. He gives them all the instruction. We've just studied it, verses 14 through 21. And what does it do? Thus did Noah. He obeyed. But obedience is always evidence of our faith. See, faith is not some obscure thing that we just talk in these abstract terms. Faith is a real thing. And we're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And when we consider faith this evening, we find that faith really is an action. If you read Hebrews chapter number 11, you'll notice that all of those that are mentioned in God's hall of faith, if you will, that it all is dealing with these actions that they take. By faith, and then it tells us what they did. Here's what they did. Why? They believed God. And here, as we notice in verse number 22, we notice the faith and obedience of Noah. The Bible says, thus did Noah. I want you to hold your place here and turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse number 7 and notice how the writer of Hebrews mentions this event that we're studying this evening in Genesis chapter number 6. Again, as I've mentioned to you, we looked at a couple of other references already, but this truth of Noah's flood is not contained strictly to Genesis 6 through 8. It is referenced throughout the whole of God's Word. And here in Hebrews 11, in verse number 7, the Bible says this, by faith Noah, notice this, being warned of God of things, what's it say? Not seen as yet. So he is receiving word from God with regard to this flood that is going to come. God told him it was going to rain and not rain before. Amen? You with me? And God's going to send this flood. And the Bible says that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, what's the next word? Moved. He moved with fear. And here's what he did. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. That's powerful. And we find that the faith and obedience of Noah is given to us in those first 3 words of verse 22 of Genesis chapter number 6 when the Bible says, thus did Noah. He had the faith that what God said he would do, he would do. This evening, we find that there's a number of people that are going through life and they're depending on their experiences and they're looking for some type of sign. And we find that when God says something, we just need to believe God. Amen? We just need to take God at His word. We find this evening that according to our text of Scripture, that this man, Noah, he was a man that walked with God. Remember that. The Bible had already given us that truth. It says, thus did Noah, notice the rest of the verse, according to all that God commanded him. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that Noah, Mrs. Noah, his sons and their wives, and all the animals, do you think they were happy that Noah did all that he was told to do? What if he forgot the pitch? What if he just said, you know what, that's not really a necessary element. I think I'm going to skip that. Well, what if he didn't, do you understand what I'm saying? Partial obedience is disobedience. Amen? And when we understand that here the Bible says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. It's important that we understand this evening the complete obedience of this man Noah. He was not leaning on his own understanding. He was not sitting back saying, well, I know that's what God said, but, you know, hey, it's a new age now. It's a new situation. I can do this. I can do that. No, no, no. Noah did what God said. And can I tell you that this message from Genesis chapter number 6, the very first book of the Bible, the truth is there for us this evening. We live in the midst of a people. We get sidetracked sometimes where we get this thinking that, well, does it really have to be that way? The answer is yes. If God said it, settles it. People run around with those bumper stickers on. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. If you have one, forgive me, but whether you believe it or not doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because if God said it, that settles it. Do you believe me this evening? It doesn't, listen, there are people that didn't believe what God said was going to happen. A whole lot of them in Genesis 7 and 8, and they died. And I have a tendency to believe that with my sanctified imagination, that when the rains came, and the flood came, that they were trying to get in the ark. But for 120 years, when Noah was preparing the ark and he was preaching, nobody wanted to hear it. Can I tell you that when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, we sing the song, listen, the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. And I don't care if you don't believe it, he's coming. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he that says he's going to come, he's going to come. He's not going to tarry. He's coming at the exact right time. Amen? It doesn't matter this evening what some new philosophical age would seek to tell us and try to instruct us and tell us, well, we're wiser and smarter now. No, no, no. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Romans 1. And so this evening, when we look at the final verse of Genesis 6, we find that the faith, thus did Noah, the obedience according to all that God commanded him. I'm thankful that Noah obeyed God entirely, completely. Every detail that God gave was important. By the way, I've already used the illustration this evening of the tabernacle. If you read Exodus chapter number 40, you can get to the end of that chapter, and you can see how the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle. And it's an exciting chapter. But can I tell you that as you read the entirety of Exodus chapter number 40, that you find over and over in that chapter, here's what they were told, and here's what they did. Here's what they were told, here's what they did. And because of the obedience, the exact obedience to what God said, we find that the result was that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And God had commanded, and it says over and over, as the Lord had commanded Moses. As the Lord had commanded Moses. They did all these things like God told them. And Noah did exactly what God told him. And we find that in Genesis chapter number 7, in Genesis chapter number 8, when God gives further instruction, and when God shuts them in, that they survived because of the obedience. It says at the end of the verse in Genesis 6 and verse 22, the very last three words, so did he. Oh, that this evening we would believe God. That we would believe what God has communicated to us. That we would take God at His Word. That we would respond to the message of God's Word in faith and in obedience, that we would be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves, that we would not believe the lie of the devil. You understand this evening that God has never lied and that God will never lie. But we understand that the devil, he's the father of lies and he's a liar from the beginning, John 8. And tonight, make thee an ark. What a daunting task Noah had. But we find that God had given Noah the truth regarding that judgment that was coming, the righteous judgment of God. I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. I'm thankful for the faith, for the mercy and grace of God, and I'm thankful for the faith and obedience of Noah. this evening. We need to take the Word of God in the same manner in which Noah received the Word of God. I understand that God is not speaking to us audibly the way in which God spoke to Noah, but He's given us a more sure word of prophecy. That's what Peter said. Amen? By the way, Peter was the one that stood with the Lord Jesus Christ and John at the Mount of Transfiguration, right? He's the one that heard God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," right? He did. In fact, when you read Peter's testimony, when he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that is the subject matter that he references, the Mount of Transfiguration. Then, after he references that, he heard the voice of God, he says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. What a blessing it is to have the complete canon of the Word of God. And listen this evening, if you want to read it out loud, read it out loud so that you can feel like God's speaking to you audibly, because God speaks through His Word. And God gives us truth. And the danger today is that too many people are setting it aside and saying, "Oh, that's just outdated. That's just..." No, 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 no. This is the answer for all of man's questions, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And He is the living Word, the Word in flesh. He came and dwelt among us, and He has given us the written Word. And this evening, oh, that we would take our response to the Word of God in like manner of Noah. So did he. That we just take the Word of God and say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." And even though Noah, he was warned of God of things that had not even been seen, he just believed God, because God told him, and Noah walked with God, he believed God. Tonight, we have a great God, and He's given us a perfect book full of instructions for our lives. And oh, how we must take heed to the Word of God, just as Noah did. Let's pray. Father, we love